The following is a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for tuning in today. It's RRSP season. Have you made your contribution yet, or are you holding off because of the uncertainty that continues with COVID-19? Should you invest in an RRSP or a TFSA? Which is best for you? There's so many decisions, and of course, getting advice on this is the best remedy. So joining me to give that advice is Doretta Thompson. She's the financial literacy leader and director with corporate citizenship at CPA Canada, and Jackie McCann-Scott, financial advisor and owner of Invested Mama Inc. Thanks so much for joining me today, guys. So Doretta, I'll start with you this morning, and I wanna start with the basics. So what are RRSPs and how do they work?
So an RRSP is a registered retirement savings plan that you set up in which you save money now while you're earning income so that you have those savings when you retire. And there are a lot of benefits to doing it. You get a tax deduction, so you don't pay money on the money that you invest in your RRSP, and it earns money protected inside your RRSP tax-free. You then pay tax when you retire and withdraw those funds, and pay tax for many people at a lower tax rate.
Thanks for that, Doretta. And we know that RRSPs are definitely a great way to save for retirement and probably one of the more popular ways that people use to save for their retirement. But Jackie, I mean, they are a great investment product, but what are the benefits or rather the pros and cons of investing with RRSPs?
Well, I guess the first thing is, and you've heard me say this on previous shows, Nancy, whether or not an RRSP is the right choice for you really depends on your circumstances. So if you find yourself in a lower tax bracket, certainly given the state of the economy in the last year, a lot of people's income have been reduced. You know, the tax savings that you will see by contributing to an RRSP in a low income earning year may not be as significant as, you know, if you were to contribute in a year where you're making more money. So I always say to people, decide if the benefit of the investment is worth the tax savings in this year. Because the good news is, anytime you choose not to contribute in an RRSP, you don't lose the room. It's one of those rare things in life where you don't lose what you don't use. So it does carry forward. And, for folks that traditionally been in a higher income bracket that weren't right now, I've been advising some of those folks, if they don't have a tax problem, you know, to save that room until it'll make a bigger impact down the road. So that's one of the definite benefits of it. The other thing is, we're seeing a lot of people working much later into their, you know, retirement years, or even more common these days are folks retiring and then realizing, well, I really enjoyed working. I want to go back in some capacity. So keeping in mind, as Doretta, you know, alluded to, normally, people are in a lower tax bracket in retirement when they're taking these RRSPs out and when they're seeing that deferred tax now become a reality. But that's not always the case. So, you're not avoiding the tax indefinitely with an RRSP. You're just deferring it down the road. So, you want to have a look, depending on where you are in your life and your career, at what your tax bracket may look like in retirement. Some people right now are receiving pensions and doing consulting work. They may be in a higher income bracket than they were at certain career stages. So, taking an RRSP out then would not really be a tax advantage. So it always, always depends on your circumstances, but they definitely do work for a lot of Canadians.
Yeah, and I guess that's where getting the right advice comes in to make sure that it is the right thing for you. But for Jackie, those people out there who think they may have a tax problem this year and they really want to consider investing in an RRSP, how do they go about that? What's going to be required?
Well, the first thing that most advisors will want to do is confirm the amount of RRSP room you have, because the way the government looks at it, 18% of what they consider your earned income, and a lot of things make up your earned income, you know, the most common being employment income or net employment income, but it can be other things like, you know, if you're receiving spousal support, that increases your room. If you're receiving disability benefits through CPP, that will earn you some room as well. So I always reference our clients to look at their latest notice of assessment and look at how much room they have, because that's important. You don't ever want to contribute more than the government allows you under that tax shelter. Then once you know that, which most people have lots of room in my experience, then it's a matter of sitting with an advisor and deciding if you want to do a lump sum contribution or if you want to set up regular contributions, which can be done out of your bank account like any other contribution you're making to any other type of non-registered savings plan. It's also important to decide how you want those dollars to be invested. And that's where a conversation around things like your risk tolerance, your timelines for when you're likely wanting to access this money. Those are the types of things that you'd want to talk to an advisor with at either, you know, an independent firm like mine or, you know, a banking institution. A lot of places do offer these RSPs. And then make the investment decisions under the RSP umbrella according to your comfort and your level of investment knowledge and expertise. It's a fairly simple process that can be done. And I know most places are doing those remotely now as well. They're allowing people to, do electronic signing and those types of things to make sure everybody stays safe and that we maintain good social distancing.
That's some really great advice, Jackie. And Doretta, I know, like, and Jackie said, in a lot of cases, people have unused room that they're carrying forward. But for those who have been contributing to their limit each year and need to be cognizant of how much they can contribute, there are contribution limits. Any advice on what people should be thinking about for that with regards to the current tax year?
Well, the standard rule is that it's 18% of the income that you earned the last year up to a maximum. And the maximum for 2020 is $27,000 and a bit, $27,230, I think. The important thing is you look at your tax return from last year. The government will actually tell you on your statement how much your maximum is for this year and how you assess with your advisor how much you're going to put in is going to depend a lot on what you think your cash flow is going to look like for the coming year. Whether you want to make a lump sum investment or a regular one, as Jackie was saying. So again, as in many things that investments are involved, so much depends on your personal situation and understanding where you stand and getting advice.
And I know there's different types of investments that can be held in an RRSP, and people are often concerned with the pandemic, Jackie, on market volatility and things like that. Is that something they should be thinking about and talking to an advisor about when it comes to RRSPs?
Absolutely. I know that there's a lot of self-directed investing going on right now that seems to be, you know, enjoying some popularity, and certainly post Super Bowl weekend, we saw a lot of people, you know, with all the ads that were running, wanting to do their own investing. And I certainly support that. But I always will caution people to make sure that when they are making these investment decisions, that it's not based on chasing the next big stock or the next big thing. This is intended to be monies for your retirement. And typically, this is a long game for most people that are going to start saving this year. So you want to make sure that you take an approach that isn't putting all your eggs in one basket. I would want a combination of, you know, some more low risk like GIC and cash and money market type funds in my investment portfolio. And then, you know, some maybe more actively managed stocks and bonds and those type, or sorry, mutual funds within the portfolio so that, you know, I am taking advantage of any pent up growth that we'll likely see once we come out of the pandemic, but at the same time, you know, building in some safety there as well. So there's a wide range of things to think about. And, you know, it's really important to sit down and just educate yourself with the help of, you know, a professional in terms of what are my choices and take a nice holistic approach in terms of where you're going to be putting these hard earned dollars that you're investing in the RSP.
Okay, great. And just before we sign off, Jackie, quickly, people often hear about spousal RRSPs. How do they work and what would be the benefit of choosing a spousal RRSP versus your own RRSP?
Well, it's not uncommon in a household where you have, you know, two spouses to have one that earns significantly more than the other. Especially, you know, we see a lot of times where one parent has chosen to stay home with young children, for example, or, you know, maybe self-employed and it's still in the growth phase of their business, so they're not earning as much right now. The beauty of a spousal RSP is that it allows the higher income earning spouse to contribute to the RSP and receive the deduction. So it's super important to note that they need to have the RSP room because they are the one who will actually get the tax slip from the institution tax time, giving them that tax break. But the funds themselves are actually now owned by the lower income earning spouse. And what that does is it provides an opportunity, even for people that don't have traditional pension plans, to do some income splitting in retirement, because the higher income earner gets the tax break now, but the funds will be drawn out down the road, you know, more than likely in the lower income earner's tax bracket. So it's a win-win situation. Where there is a big discrepancy in income, I often will recommend, you know, spousal RSPs. But again, you have to be really careful, because once you've given those funds to your spouse, they own those funds. And we don't want to get into the conversation around the high divorce rate, but again, you know, keep in mind that, you know, you are foregoing those funds and they do belong to the spouse now. Obviously, there's, you know, ways to get them back if things don't work out, you know, the fairy tale doesn't become a reality. But at the end of the day, you know, that's something I always tell people to be very mindful of.
And that's some great advice, for sure. And we've got so much more to talk about with regards to this. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. I'm joined today by Doretta Thompson. Doretta is the financial literacy leader, director of corporate citizenship at CPA Canada, and also Jackie McCann Scott. Jackie's a financial advisor and owner of Invested Mama Inc. So we're talking about RRSPs today, and we know the deadline for investing this year to take advantage of the tax benefit for 2020 is March 1st. And Doretta, oftentimes people think, you know, RRSPs are not something I need to consider. I have a company pension plan that I'm paying into. Is that the case?
I think it, again, as always, it depends. But the one thing I would say first is if you have a company pension, particularly if it's a defined contribution one, make sure that you are contributing the maximum you can afford to it, particularly if your employer is making matching contributions, because otherwise you're literally leaving money on the table. Make sure that you look at that and you're maxing out there before you're looking at additional RRSP contribution. In terms of additional RRSP contributions, you will have some room there. And again, you can check your with last year's taxes to see exactly what your room is. The answer will depend on a number of factors like your available cash flow, how much deduction room you have, marginal tax brackets. And an advisor can help you run those numbers, or there are online programs that help you run those numbers to see whether it's really to your benefit compared to other ways you might want to invest.
Great. And I know for younger members of our audience that are out there, you know, the benefits of investing early are really important. So just as an example, if you're at age 25 and you start contributing $1,500 annually to your RRSP and continue to do that until you're 55, you will have contributed $45,000. And the dollar value of this investment at age 55 will be $118,587. But if you started a little later, so say you start at age 40, and then they contribute $3,000 each year until they reach 55, they've also will have contributed $45,000, but the value of that investment at age 55 is only $69,828. So Jackie, obviously the earlier you can start investing, the better. It can allow you to invest less annually and still arrive at a higher number. But oftentimes it raises the question too, is it ever too late to start investing in your retirement? Are you ever too old to start investing in your RRSPs?
I don't think you are ever too old. There's one, I guess, age limit on RSP contributions, and that is age 71. So, you know, you can't contribute to an RSP after December 31st in the year you turn 71. But even then, if you find yourself in a situation with a younger spouse and you still have RSP room, you can contribute to a spousal RSP, and the younger spouse can get that income. So again, there are situations where people, you know, well into their 60s are still contributing to the RSP. But I would suggest those are folks that tend to be in a higher tax bracket, or folks that may have been later again in life starting to contribute to the RSP because maybe it took a while for their incomes to get to that level where it made sense, or they had other demands on cash flow in their younger years. But I get really frustrated in my practice sometimes when I see folks that are older that were encouraged to maybe, put money in RSP or weren't given advice, and they've put a little bit of money into the plan, and that RSP, once they start drawing down on it, will likely do nothing to make a meaningful impact to their retirement cash flow, but it could in fact preclude them from receiving or exclude them from receiving some government benefits, like the guaranteed income supplement and access to a drug card. So again, it does depend, but for the most part, if you have not started contributing to an RSP and you're nearing retirement, it's probably one of the things you should defer doing. There are other ways to invest at that point for retirement that will likely be just as meaningful and a lot less potentially devastating to your ability to access some support in retirement. So as we've said, and will likely continue to say throughout this show, it really does depend on your circumstances.
It does, and the best way to find that out, as we always say, Jackie, is to get advice from a professional who can make sure that you're doing what's going to be right for you and there's not going to be any detrimental effect on your income. So we often hear promotions this time of year as well, Jackie, on financial institutions encouraging people to take out RSP loans. Is that something you recommend?
Well, an RSP loan is, I would recommend under the same circumstances, I would recommend any type of borrowing for anyone. You have to look at, you know, what is my capacity to take on this loan? And with capacity, we look at things like your total debt that you're already servicing and that you're already carrying on your, you know, your balance sheet. I look at, you know, what's your net worth? What type of collateral do you have? What kind of credit history do you have? All of those things, like you would take into account applying for any loan, will be taken into account when you're applying for an RSP loan. And what's your ability to repay the loan? So, you know, all of those things, again, with the uncertainty of income, certainly in the foreseeable rest of this year, that's something people need to consider. I also look at, would you be better off just starting a regular contribution versus taking out a lump sum? Now, for some folks, the RSP loan and the one-time deposit might be a great way to write out or offset some tax liability from CERB last year, for example. So that might be an opportunity. In those situations, I'd want to only take out the amount we need to offset any tax liability, and I'd want to take it out on no more than a two-year repayment schedule, ideally a one-year if we can do it. You don't want to be carrying an RSP loan for any length of time if you don't have to. And ideally, if you can create a refund with an RSP loan, then I would say let's apply that refund to the loan balance and get it paid off as quickly as possible. Most institutions will allow you to pay off the loan faster than your repayment schedule without any penalty. Again, it has to be a decision that's made very strategically, taking all the factors that I just mentioned into consideration and with a very focused goal of getting it paid off as quickly as possible.
And I guess you're definitely going to want to read the fine print or ask the question of your institution when you're taking out that loan. What is the ability to repay the loan early to make sure that that's a possibility? So something else that comes up often too, and especially in the year we just had where people found themselves on reduced incomes, is withdrawing from RRSPs. So Doretta, we know that you can withdraw from your RRSPs, but are there penalties for doing so?
There are. So it's very important to consider these when you're making the decision about withdrawing from your RRSPs. I think the thing to understand is that withdrawals from an RRSP are considered income, and that means you're going to have to pay taxes on the money that you withdraw. So at the time that you withdraw it, the financial institution will immediately hold back between 10 and 30% of the funds you're withdrawing, depending on the amount that you're withdrawing. It goes up with the amount you withdraw. And in reality, the money you withdraw will actually increase your taxable income, and you will very likely end up having to pay even more taxes based on your marginal tax rate at the end of the year. So you really want to think about that very carefully. And the other thing to remember is that you'll never be able to replace those funds in your RRSP. There are a couple of exceptions to that. There are two plans right now that allow you to borrow money from your RRSP without money being withheld. One is you can borrow money for a first-time home buyer, and you can borrow money to help pay for education under the Lifelong Learning Plan. Even in those cases, you have to remember that this is a loan and you do need to pay them back to your RRSP.
That's some really important information for listeners as well. You know, investing wisely and ensuring you can retire early is what people want to do, right? They want to make sure that they're going to be comfortable in retirement. They want to make sure that they're going to be able to retire when they want to retire. But there's rules around how long you can leave the money in your RRSPs and when you have to start drawing down on those. What do they look like, Jackie?
Well, as I alluded to previously, by December 31st in the year you turn 71, you have to convert your RRSP to some form of income. And obviously, you can cash it out, which is never recommended because of those withholding taxes that Loretta just mentioned. Most people will convert their retirement savings to a retirement income or a RIF. And based on your age at the time you do that, there is a minimum amount of income you'll have to take each year, and that is fully taxable just like any other sources of income that you would have based on your marginal tax bracket. It's very important when you're going to convert your savings to income that you're aware of what those tax implications are. If you're just taking out the minimum amount of income that you're required to based on your age and the percentage that Revenue Canada determines is required, you won't have those additional 10 to 30% withholding taxes. Most people in reality will need more than the minimum to meet their income requirements in retirement. So, you know, that's really not an issue. You're going to get taxed on it regardless. So what you look at doing in those situations is maybe basing the amount of income you take on the age of a younger spouse or a younger common law partner. And that will keep you under that threshold if you have other sources of income and the only reason you're accessing the income from your RRSP is because you are being required to by the CRA rules. Again, as you're getting ready to convert the income, it's really important to, you know, to make those decisions. Once you've decided to base it on a younger spouse's age, you know, you're pretty much locked into that. So it's something to keep in mind. You can always increase the amount with a RIF. You're not limited in on the maximum side, but there is a minimum amount required. All those things would be factors that would be looked at and the numbers crunched and decide what makes sense.
And of course, again, I'll say it again, and I'll probably continue to say it several times during this show. If you're unsure, talk to a professional and get the right advice. As we said, we know March 1st is the deadline for contributing to RRSPs for the 2020 tax year. And we've got, you know, less than 2 weeks to decide if that's the right plan for you or not. We're going to continue to talk about this. Our experts have lots more to say. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money here in VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. I'm joined today by Doretta Thompson. She's a financial literacy leader, director of corporate citizenship at CPA Canada, and Jackie McCann-Scott, financial advisor and owner of Invested Mama, Inc. So it's RRSP season, and our guests have been sharing some really great insights and advice when it comes to RRSPs. But when you think of them as an investment tool, another financial product that immediately comes to mind for me is a tax-free savings account. And that's because there's a lot of debate these days over which is best, an RRSP or a TFSA. So we're going to get some advice on that in a bit, but let's start first with what is a TFSA and how does it work? Doretta, I'll throw that one to you.
So a tax-free savings account is another kind of registered savings account, and it's extremely flexible. If you're 18 years or over, you can open an account and you can invest up to $6,000 a year, and the earnings from that account are tax-free. But remember that unlike an RRSP, where the money you put in, you actually get a deduction from your taxes, so it's pre-tax income. With a tax-free savings account, you don't get a deduction on your income tax, but all the money that's earned in it is earned interest-free. And when you withdraw the money, you don't pay tax on it. So RRSPs, no tax going in, tax coming out, tax-free savings account, tax paid going in, no tax payable going out. They're also incredibly flexible because you can take the money out and you can get that room back again. So for many people, a really flexible way to save money.
No, for sure. And I guess you mentioned that there's a minimum age of 18, but there is no maximum age when it comes to TFSAs, as we said there was with our RRSPs as well. But Jackie, there are contribution limits on TFSAs, correct?
Yes, there are. And I really feel like, you know, this pandemic has shone a spotlight on TFSAs as a viable and, you know, wonderful, I would say, investment option for people. As I mentioned earlier, you know, if you've had a drop in income this past year and, you know, you don't really face a tax problem for 2020, and therefore that deduction that you would get with the RRSP contribution is not of as much concern as maybe in the past, then taking advantage of that room within the tax-free savings, you know, is likely your best option at this point in time. So as Doretta said, you've got $6,000 a year of room right now, but if you haven't taken full advantage of contributions in the past, you could have upwards of $75,500 of accumulated room since this type of investment option was introduced by government back in 2009. So, you know, there's a lot of room there, I would suggest, from the average investor to take advantage of. Again, I always caution people to look. You can't find this on your notice of assessment, but if you have a MyCRA account, when you log into that account, you will be able to see what your tax-free savings room is for you personally, and that will take into account things like past contributions, withdrawals, room that you've regained or that you haven't taken full advantage of yet. So always check there, but there's a lot of opportunity here. My one problem with the tax-free savings account is I really wish the government had called it the tax-free investment account, because unfortunately these accounts have often just become another type of savings account for people. People have their investment dollars just sitting in cash or, you know, high interest savings accounts, which really is an oxymoron this year. We don't have a lot of really high earning interest savings accounts right now. The power of this product is when you invest the money in some type of a fund, like we were talking about earlier, maybe some mutual funds, some, you know, even GICs, something that has some earning potential, whereby that income that you're going to make on those investments is completely tax-free when you take it out and while it sits in the account continuing to compound and grow. So that's the real power of the tax-free savings account. And I think, you know, this is its time to really shine and for people to be taking another look at it.
Yeah, and that's a really important point, I think, Jackie, because a lot of people do think that it's just a savings account that they set up at their bank that they can put money in and take money out without having to pay tax on it like they would an RRSP. But you actually can invest the money through a tax-free savings account as opposed to just opening a bank account. So that, thanks for that. That's really important for people to know. So I know that we've talked about both RRSPs and TFSAs as being a really good investment tool, but how do people know, Doretta, which one is going to be best for them?
You know, like many things we've talked about on this topic, it depends because they each have different benefits depending on individual circumstances. I think Jackie did a great job in explaining that even with RRSP contributions, it really depends on how much you're earning in a year, and whether this year is, you know, the benefits of putting it in are actually going to give you the results you want in terms of tax refund. I think generally when you're considering first investing in an RRSP, you may want to do an RRSP if, for example, you know, you're investing for the long term and you're making, you know, a reasonable amount of money so that your benefit, what you'll be getting back, warrants it. If you expect, for example, that your income will be much higher down the road, you may actually want to save that space and invest in a tax-free savings account at this time. So, because remember, once you use the RRSP room, it's used. It doesn't carry forward. And when you take it out, it's gone, unlike a tax-free savings account. But if you're investing, for example, for your first home and you want to use the home buyer's plan, then you might want to think about RRSP first, and same with the lifelong learning plan. With a tax-free savings account, the kinds of things you might want to think about is long-term investments, but you're making a lower income at this point, to make sure your tax bracket's low and you expect your income to go up significantly. Also, if your savings goals are more short-term, like buying a home or savings for your wedding or a car or something, then it may make sense to go for the flexibility of a tax-free savings account. Because remember, when you take that money out, you can save it again. You can put it back in.
Oh, absolutely. And it doesn't have to be an either or, right? We're not saying that you should invest in an RSP or a TFSA. And Jackie, in a lot of cases, we'd probably recommend that you look at having both.
Absolutely. You know, I did a session with some business owners this week talking about this very topic. Should we be doing RSPs or tax-free savings? And I think the real question is, what is it you are trying to accomplish? So when you are, you know, making any type of investment decision, what, you know, as the famous author Stephen Covey used to say, start with the end in mind. So if my intention is to have this money there in, you know, 15, 20, 30 years time when I retire, then absolutely the RSP is likely your better option. That is that long game. And, you know, having, you know, maybe we put fewer dollars aside for that the farther out that, you know, timeline is, because right now we may want liquidity. We may want some flexibility. We may want to know that we can access cash if this pandemic stretches on and we find ourselves, you know, in need of extra money to supplement our income today, then the tax-free is your best bet. So we might direct a few more dollars to that. And within that tax-free account, maybe we'll take less risk because of that short-term liquidity need. So it always comes back to, what is it you're trying to accomplish, and how can we use these tools that have been provided to us as Canadian investors to their maximum potential to benefit us the most? And that's really the conversation, not should it be TFSA or RSP. The question should always be, what are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah, and there's lots of resources online that you can read to kind of educate yourself on, you know, the pros and cons of these tools, you know. But as we said, nothing takes away from really being able to sit down with a professional and getting the advice on your personal situation. So we're going to talk more about the importance of getting that professional advice when we come back. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. We're talking about RRSPs today, and I'm joined by Doretta Thompson. She's the financial literacy leader, director of corporate citizenship at CPA Canada, and Jackie McCann Scott, financial advisor and owner of Invested Mama Inc. So as we've said, ladies, March 1st is the RRSP deadline, which is just over a week away. And we've been hearing a lot of uncertainty from Canadians this year on whether they should be investing or contributing in RRSPs this year. And some of that uncertainty, of course, is because of COVID-19. Some people are unsure, to our point in the last segment, if maybe a TFSA is better because the pandemic is ongoing. Others are uncertain if they are going to owe tax and should be contributing to reduce that tax liability. So the best way to find out what is best for you from a financial perspective, of course, is to speak with a financial advisor for guidance. And Jackie, I'm sure you would agree with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we know from FPE Canada survey conducted last summer that Canadians rank money as the greatest cause of stress in life, even more so for personal health, work, and relationships. And in a separate survey conducted in the fall, poll participants who said that they use services of a financial planner were substantially more likely to report they're confident about their financial well-being at the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic at 77%. And throughout it at 74% than those who do not use a planner, which was at 57 and 57 respectively. They are also much more likely to worry less about the impacts of the second wave of the COVID virus. That was at 68% versus 50%. So, Doretta, what are the benefits of working with a financial advisor, especially during these uncertain times?
I think some of the key benefits of working with a financial advisor is the ability to access, first of all, significant knowledge and information, and secondly, objectivity, somebody who can step back and help you really look at the whole picture of your financial plan and guide you through the big picture and sort of calm the insanity that can happen around, you know, frightening events that happen, sudden changes in the market, etc. People with planners tend, we know from the research, to be a little calmer through these things and to have their big picture in mind. And I think that that's one of the most important things an advisor can do for you. They can help you understand and really vocalize and clarify for yourself what your goals are and keep you on track for those goals and get away from the idea of you can somehow time the market, that you can somehow, you know, react to individual circumstances rather than to a plan that looks at your big picture and your big goals.
So, Doretta, that's some really great advice. And you know, no matter what your financial advisor is, it could be a financial advisor like Jackie, could be someone that you want to consult on budgeting, like a credit counselor, could be someone that you want to consult on a debt solution like myself as a licensed insolvency trustee. There's many financial advisors out there. But when it comes to RRSPs, Jackie, obviously, you're the person that people need to be talking to right now. And I know you've talked to a lot of your clients quite a bit over the course of this pandemic year. Has your role as a financial advisor, has that changed at all during the pandemic? Have you seen any additional challenges?
Absolutely. I would say that the nature of the advice that's being requested changes depending on what's happening in the world at large. When we found ourselves in a, you know, have situation as a province with lots of cash flow conversations, tended to be more, you know, investment focused, and there was excess cash flow and people were wondering how best to put that to use. Now people are, you know, losing benefits and still need access to health care. They're concerned about their ability to access insurance if they are impacted by this pandemic health wise. So there's a lot of different types of conversations, and a lot of people are wanting to, as I call it, get back to the fundamentals. Let's look at my cash flow plan again. Let's look at what's coming in and what I'm doing with the dollars that are going out. One thing that I feel hasn't changed, it's just probably become more obvious to clients, is that, you know, a good financial advisor, someone who is really, you know, invested and engaged in the process with you and wants to see nothing but your best outcome, is also a little bit of a counselor, Nancy. You know, that they see that, you know, your role is not just about the technical advice, but being able to, as Doretta said, calm people down when they're watching the news daily and they're finding themselves in that ebb and flow of the good and bad and not know where they, you know, are going to land. An advisor can help get you firmly planted on the ground and not be, you know, tossed about in those waves, and can, you know, help just by saying, you know, reminding you what it is we're going to accomplish and that maybe a few things will have to be adjusted, but we're still on track and you still got this. And I'm here to guide you through every step of the way. I really feel that my role in terms of helping people, you know, lessen their panic and through things like educating them on their options and, you know, and reminding them what it is the plan is going to allow them to do, has been my biggest, you know, I guess where I felt the most fulfilled over this past year in dealing with clients, for sure.
Yeah, and I would echo that as well, Jackie, in my own practice, right? Like the most satisfaction that I get and the most joy I get in my job is providing that reassurance to people that they're not alone and they're going to get through this. And there's lots of options available for them to be able to get through it and deal with their debt and come out ahead. So I echo those comments as well, just from my own practice. We've definitely had some great advice for our listeners today with regards to investing in RRSPs and TFSAs, but we've got some time now for some final thoughts. So Doretta, if you could leave our listeners with a final thought today, what would it be?
I think that there's no perfect answer if we think specifically about TFSAs versus RRSPs, that the decision depends on your own facts, your own circumstances. And what we learned from that is that it's really important to understand your own situation and your own goals and to get advice when you need it, when you feel you don't have the information you need, but you don't have the objectivity you need. I think it's also really important to stay calm and try to resist that urge to make knee-jerk reactions to, you know, sell everything once or just, you know, get worked up about the immediate situation. History shows us that time in the market is much more important than timing the market, and that staying the course is generally what's going to have the most positive income. Or positive outcome, sorry. And finally, I would say that start saving young and remember the importance of compounding, earning money on the money you earn, as well as on the money you save. So remember what Einstein said, compounding is the eighth wonder of the world, and people who understand it earn it, and people who don't understand it pay it.
I really like that quote. That's some really great advice. Well, Dorota, thanks so much for joining me today. And I know CPA Canada has a lot of great information out there for people. If people want to take advantage and do some reading to educate themselves on some financial matters, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can go to our webpage at www.cpacanada.ca/financial literacy.
Great. Thanks again for joining me today.
Thank you.
And Jackie, if you could leave our listeners with a final thought today.
Dorota said it best, you know, it's taking that time and understanding what your goals are and what your, you know, your unique situation is and what makes the most sense for you, seeking the advice of an impartial and independent advisor that can help you navigate through all these ups and downs and overwhelming amounts of information that you're receiving, so that you don't make any, you know, harsh or quick judgments that aren't based in fact and aren't based in truth. And you know, the biggest thing that I say to people right now is return to the fundamentals. You know, when you feel like you have no control, it's when, you know, it's most important to remind yourself what you do have and what, you know, where you are right now, and celebrate any progress you have made towards achieving those goals. So I do, you know, encourage people to sit down and you know, literally write down, you know, what their goals are, what their cash flow needs are, and to have someone, you know, walk them through what the next steps look like for them. Don't go this alone. I know we're all being encouraged to socially distance, but there are wonderful ways to connect, like we are all doing today, that can still provide you with access to support and the advice that you need now, I would suggest more than ever.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you're right. As people are in lockdown, once again, here in Newfoundland and Labrador, it does become important to use means like FaceTime and other social media that you can connect with people. It is very important. But Jackie, as we said, there's still, you know, just over a week left to invest in RSPs. If people aren't sure what they should be doing and want some advice, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Well, they can certainly call my office, and that's 709-781-3526, or they can email me anytime, Jackie@investedmama.com, and that's MAMA.
Great. Thanks again for joining me today.
Thank you.
I really enjoy having Jackie and Dorota on my show. They always have such great insights. I also want to thank you, my listeners, for tuning in. If you want me to cover a topic or you have a comment or question, please reach out to me at yourmoney@bdo.ca or give me a call at 800-563-8337. Until next week, I'm Nancy Sneddon. Stay safe and be well, everyone.
If you have a question or comment for Your Money, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Sneddon of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees, on VOCM.
The proceeding was a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.